Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
Well, I certainly enjoyed the praise and worship. I couldn't quite hit that one note that Jordan hit, but I was trying. I hope it didn't mess him up, you know. But great to be back. We had a wonderful weekend last weekend. Went up to Ogilby for a couple days, and that was quite nice and refreshing. This morning, I want to draw your attention to the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 15. As I speak on what it means to love God. The entire verse here in John 14, 15 is just one statement from Jesus, but what an all-important statement it is. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I begin there in this message on what it means to love God, because Jesus is the one who defines a love relationship to God. He's the link. He's the bridge between us and God. No one can enter into a relationship with God and fully love God as God desires apart from Jesus. It's all about Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, Jesus, the living Word that was made flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to look at this passage in the opening words of Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Now look at this statement here. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Here's the gospel. Here's the good news. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might believe. He who believes in Him is not condemned. He who does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. These are foundational passages here that I'm sharing with you about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And this is also the foundation for a statement that Jesus made in John 14, 6 when He said, "I am the way." Look at this. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Now that brings us to this subject of what does it mean to love God? Because it begins with Jesus. And Jesus said, if you love Me, here's what you're going to do. If you love Me, you are going to keep My commandments. Jesus made many commanding statements. I can't give all of them to you here this morning, but I want to give you a few of the commandments that Jesus gave. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Let your light shine before men. Settle matters quickly. Love your enemies. Do not judge. Do not worry. When you stand praying, forgive. Love one another as I have loved you. These are all commanding statements from Jesus. But for our purposes here this morning in this message that God has laid on my heart to share with you, I want to cover four of His commandments in a little more detail. And I've chosen these four very important statements that Jesus made. I've chosen these to show somewhat of a progression from the beginning to the end. And so let's begin at the beginning. Commandment number one, repent or perish. That's what Jesus said. Twice. In Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5, twice Jesus made this statement. Some of the people at the beginning of Luke chapter 13, they started talking about the Galileans who were killed by Herod, and they brought up this. It was almost as if they were trying to see some kind of cause and effect. And Jesus said to them, do you think that they died because they were worse sinners? And then He said to them, unless you repent, you too will perish. He said that twice in that opening paragraph in Luke chapter 13. You say, Pastor, you're talking about what it means to love God. These are harsh words in a message like this. These are the words of Jesus, and I'd like to suggest to you that these are actually loving words. These are loving words. Because it's the beginning of His message and His ministry of salvation. Jesus came preaching repentance. Where is that message today in many churches? Jesus came preaching repentance, calling everywhere, commanding people everywhere to repent. It's believed that the gospel according to Mark was the very first gospel that was written. And in the very first gospel, the very first recorded words of Jesus are these. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. That's the first message that Jesus came with. Repent and believe in the gospel. How many of you today know that our God is such a loving, merciful, kind, long-suffering God? Oh, it's beyond description. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing for you to perish if you're here today and you're not saved. If you're not in this relationship that I'm talking about. He's not willing that you should perish, but that you should come to repentance. And so what I'm saying here is this. If we truly love God, and we truly love people, we are going to speak the truth in love. And the truth is that Jesus is the difference between heaven and hell. He's the difference between life and death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, listen to me. Excusing and condoning sin is not loving God and loving people. Amen? Telling people that there's more than one way to heaven, that's not loving God and loving people. If someone you love were to ask you about how to get to a certain destination, would you tell them, just go to any airport, get on any flight, you'll eventually get there? Just get in your car, take any path, choose any road, and you'll get there? No. See, love, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Yes, it does. But it does not excuse sin. It does not remove the reality of hell. And so Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Commandment number one that I'm dealing with is repent or perish. That leads me to commandment number two. You must be born again. Not you may be born again. That would have changed things. No, you must be born again. There's no other option. There's no in between. Folks, listen today. Listen carefully. Religion is no substitute for being born again. Church attendance, church membership, it's no substitute for being born again. Good works are no substitute for being born again. You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I often say this. If you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born into this life, you're born physically, your parents raise you up, you're born, and you go through life without knowing God, without receiving Jesus, you will not only die a physical death, but you'll die what the Bible calls the second death. You'll be separated from God. But if you're born twice, if you're born into this world and then you're born again of the Spirit through the blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross, if you're born again, then you will only die once. And the last enemy, death, cannot defeat you, even the last enemy. And the second death cannot touch you because you've been born again. We're talking about salvation in Jesus. And we use words like justification. We use words like regeneration. What we're talking about is a spiritual conversion, something that happens on the inside when you're born again by the Holy Spirit. It's more than intellectual assent. It's more than good works. It's a change of your heart. It's a change in the direction of your life by completely, fully trusting in the finished work of Jesus, where you give up all merit, all attempts to make yourself acceptable to God, and you come to the cross and you place your faith and trust in the atoning blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross for the sins of the world, for my sins and for your sins. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him up from the dead, you will be saved. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship. Look at this. We often leave off verse 10. Verse 10 is very important. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We don't work to be saved, okay? We don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. And that leads me to commandment number three. Now look at this. Look at this all-important statement. Think about this one. Jesus said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Abide in me, and I in you, Jesus said. The word abide is a verb. It means more than feeling or belief. It's action. It means to remain. Like a branch abiding in the vine. To love your spouse or your family means that you abide with them. You dwell with them. There's a relationship. There's communication back and forth. There's fellowship. And it's the same with Jesus and His church. That's why we're trying to address small groups in the church here. What's that? What's all that about? If we have small groups, it's about relationship, being part of one another. That's why we're trying to emphasize the importance of relationships. First Baptist Church will be no stronger than the abiding relationships in this church. And one of the other things we're seeking to do is to expand membership. You know, I've been through this many years where someone says, I want to join the church. And so we have a very brief or no process at all. And someone joins. And then 3 months later, you wonder, everybody's asking, what happened to that person that joined? And then I have to chase, some of us have to chase the person down, find out if their feelings got hurt, what happened, why aren't you coming to church? And so we want to have a more expanded membership program where people understand this is what First Baptist is about, and you're joining a family. And this is what we expect from you as a member. This is the commitment you're making. And what we're trying to do in all of this is forge relationships. Because I'll say it again. First Baptist will be no stronger than the abiding relationships that we have. We'd be better off having 80 people with solid, loving, good relationships than to have 300. I didn't get any amens on that. Because we want more people, don't we? What we're talking about here is more than becoming a Christian. You know, that's the thing, folks. Look, it's more than just saying the sinner's prayer and taking that initial step. It's becoming a disciple, abiding in the vine, walking in obedience and sanctification, following the Lord, being part of His church, His family. But this we know, that we love the children of God. How? When we love God and keep His commandments. Look at this. Now by this we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments, he who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought to himself also to walk as He, Jesus, walked. Live as a representative of Jesus. That's what we're talking about here. 1984. Some of you might not even have been born by then. 1984, I remember it well. What a year that was. I graduated from seminary. And I jumped right in to the frying pan. My first pastorate, I took this pastorate in Longview, Texas. And this church was a broken, sick church. And you know, I went in there for the first few months. I just preached simple salvation messages, trying to explain very carefully what salvation is. And I remember after a few months of that, a psychiatrist who had been in the church for many years, he came to me and he said, "How can we really know?" He didn't know. And he wanted to know, how can we really know? So I shared some of these verses like these in 1 John, and like 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son does not have life, and prayed. God did a tremendous work. But folks, we need to make it clear. We have a responsibility to speak the truth in love, to tell people the full gospel message. Loving God means that you abide in Him. Loving God means that there's a relationship day by day. And because you love Him, you follow Him, you listen to Him, you obey Him, and you bear fruit for Him. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. That leads me to the fourth and final commandment that I want to deal with this morning. Go and make disciples. That's what Jesus said. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I had a family when I was still over at Cornerstone. They wanted me to baptize someone in their family in the name of Jesus only. What do you think I said? No. I'm not going to do it. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus did not say, go and make a crowd. He didn't say, go and make a church member. He said, go and make disciples. Draw people into this love relationship to God through Jesus. And as His disciples, and I hope that you are His disciple today. I hope that you are. As His disciples who love Him and follow Him, we want others to love and follow Him. We want others to make heaven. I don't want to go alone. I want to take someone with me. We want others to repent, to be born again, and to remain in Him until they cross the finish line, because we're running a race. It's not about just coming, saying a prayer, and getting a ticket to heaven. We're talking about loving God and a relationship with Him. So what about you today? Have you done these things that I'm talking about? Have you? Seriously. Are you abiding in Him? Is He abiding in you? Do you love Him today? Here's the good news. I'm going to close with this. This is really good news. The good news is that this isn't all on us, what I'm talking about today. It's not all on us. His commandments, the Bible says His commandments are not burdensome. And right after Jesus made this statement, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, the very next verse, verse 16, He said this, I'm going to pray the Father, and He's going to give you another helper, paraclete, encourager, comforter. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit to abide with you forever. That's where we rely on Him every day, trusting Him, walking with Him, loving Him, developing a relationship with Him. That's what we want to be about here at First Baptist, is loving God, loving people, and helping one another, loving one another, looking beyond our... All of us have our own individual idiosyncrasies and faults. But we need to get serious about God's church and what He desires to do.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.